Hey, what's up, Fresh family? Welcome back to the Extraordinarily Fresh podcast. Week three, we are back at it again. I have Riding Shotgun with me, AJ, the Frenchman, Henry P. McCoy, and also Clint, the Sandy Ravage. I am your host, Simon Kilo, a.k.a. the Crooked Rook, a.k.a. Waiver Wire Warrior. So we're just going to go into it, guys. Go ahead and say hello to the podcast.
Go ahead and take it away, Clint.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for the polite route there, AJ. What's going on, guys? It's nice to be here. Week three, I was slated to come on week one, but Eric took over for me as my wife was having some health issues. But no, it's great to be here.
Yo, I'm glad that came off polite because I was just really saving the best for last. Woo! Giving myself credit. That's awesome. Anyway. I'm excited about this episode, fellas, man. I really like what we're getting ready to talk about, mostly about me at the end. That's pretty much the part that's going to be pretty super awesome for me. So let's get right to it.
All right. So we're going to get right into it. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your week two. What happened? Were there any surprises for you in particular? How did your games go? Go ahead and take it away, guys.
All right, AJ, I'm going to let you go ahead on this one.
All right, I appreciate that. You know what? My week two went well. It's hard to write a script in which it would have gone any better than it did. Everybody on my team pretty much showed up to play, and it was nice to see, you know, what my team is capable of when everybody kind of lives up to their potential. There you go. But yeah, it was a good week. I was really surprised in this week, though. You know, besides myself and maybe a couple other teams, it seemed like everybody was really, really struggling this week. Very low scores for our league, at least.
Yeah, low scores all around. I definitely agree. You know, last podcast we were talking about your games as they were going. You know, I was looking at the boy Forte. I think LaShawn McCoy was playing Brandon Marshall. That first half, I was like, yeah, you know, he might get it rolling, whatever. We thought Brad still had a chance, but I'm not going to lie, your players came through all across the board this week. So, you know.
You know, like we know, a lot of fantasy football is just getting the right players at the right time. But the one decision that I was really excited about that I made was putting Matt Ryan in instead of Jameis Winston. That was about the best call you can make at quarterback, if I can remember any two directly opposite games. Jameis had the worst game of his career, and Matt had about the best game of his.
What was your reasoning behind that, you know, prior to snap?
I just, you know what, Jameis Winston going up against that Arizona defense, man. I was just thinking about that secondary, you know, and playing against Oakland, which has a decent front on their defensive side, but their defensive backs were suspect, and I felt like there was an opportunity there. And
no, I saw Oakland's ranked 32 on defense.
Hey, all I gotta say is four picks, so I'm glad that you dodged that one. I mean, that was crazy. So hats off for that win. What about you, Clint?
For me, you know, I had the unfortunate situation of, you know, all week one and week two, I had everyone's talking and you know, with Skip's power rankings, he had just been talking about how bad Roland's team was, and you know, so I kind of came into week two thinking about, oh, this is a shoe, and you know what I mean, I'm gonna start 2-0, and you know, Thursday night into Sunday and then coming into Monday night, I'm like, this is gonna be a nail biter, you know. So it was good to pull out the win. I did pull that. Me and Roland both had some of the higher scores for the league. I finished 148 or so, and I think he finished 144. And there were some questions on that. If, you know, I know one of my running backs, Giovanni Bernard, had right at 100 receiving yards. So I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm only up by like 3 points. And if, you know, if Gio gets that, you know, a yard taken away, I'm done. You know, that would have been a tough stat correction to come my way. But no, I pulled out the win. I'm happy to start the season 2-0 and looking forward to what's coming next.
Yeah, congrats, dude. I mean, sometimes this is a game of inches, you know what I mean? It could come down. I remember one year, you know, Brian Westbrook falling down at the 1-yard line. You know, how many how many mad fantasy players there were out there. So, I mean, congrats to you for the win as well. And, I mean, you're starting off 2-0, so that's got to feel pretty good. I mean, but, like, you know, moving on from, you know, Jameis Winston was playing like he was injured, but what about the people who actually were injured this week? I mean, that was crazy all the way down the line from Danny Woodhead, Thomas Rawls, two of my guys, Doug Martin, Adrian Peterson out for extended periods of time. What's going on? I mean, is this just an evolving league, players getting faster, stronger? You know, do we need different training regimens? Like, what's going on with all these injuries?
Well, Simon, let me just say something real quick. I mean, you know, you talk about guys like Danny Woodhead, and it's like, you know, in the I'm only in two other leagues this year. I've done the 5-6 league thing before, and it's too much for me. But you know, you talk about guys like Danny Woodhead, and you know, that's a major blow for a league like Fresh. I mean, that's, you know, I don't want to say season breaking, but you know, it kind of, you know, in a PPR 14 man, you know, league with a bunch of savvy owners, that's, you know, that's season breaking almost. And
yeah, flex, that's big. That's big right options. There.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely an almost, I mean, Danny Woodhead in anybody's lineup is at least going to start in a flex. So you're losing a starting position by losing that guy, no matter who it is you're playing with. And that's a rough one. That's a rough one for anybody to absorb.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about the battle of attrition in this league. It's like, how many blows can you absorb and still survive?
Yeah, and I mean, I know I took two of those blows. I mean, you're talking about Adrian Peterson, Doug Martin. You know, when I got Doug Martin in the draft, my reasoning was I have two of the top five running backs in the league. Now I'm not even seeing those guys on the field. You know what I mean? So sometimes injuries just completely, you know, take you by surprise. But sometimes it's a time for opportunity too. You know, I was involved in a veto trade. I thought that was a really good way to get back, but unfortunately that didn't go through. So were you guys hit by the injury bug at all, or you guys stay free?
I stayed free.
Yeah, I got lucky. I got lucky this week. And thank the fantasy gods and just keep it moving for the next week. But that's the thing in this league, man. Like, none of us can afford to take a big injury hit because there's just nothing on the waiver wire. There's nothing that anybody can really offer you in trades, especially after all of the injuries that happened this week. Even if you were looking to make a trade with someone, it's not a lot of teams that are going to have what you need or can afford to give it up.
Right, right, right. Were there any duds for this week? Or on the opposite side, what about the studs? You know, who are the players that really came to perform? I know for my game in particular, Sammy Watkins, man, like, that's my number one receiver. And he came through with 2 points. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard to see right there. So what about for you all? Did you see any really good performances out there or really bad performances?
For me, I know something that me and Chad have gone back and forth on over the past couple days. Watching that Pittsburgh Cincinnati game, you know, it wasn't so much about the player ability or game flow or the quarterback play or anything like that, but talking about AJ Green and Antonio Brown. You know, you've got top five wide receivers and going against each other, and you expect it to be a monster shootout, you know, possibly a high scoring game. And like I was explaining to the commish a while ago, it rained for 3/4 of that game. And, you know, the players weren't able to get their hands on the ball and run their routes. And so therefore you end up with, I think it was 5-something for Antonio Brown and 4-something for AJ Green. And that's something that, you know, it's, you know, when you roster a guy like that, when you put forth that kind of money, or you can keep him or whatever, you know, he has to be your moneymaker, you know. And those are two guys that came up really short.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Clint said, you know, it's like certain players, like you think about like wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, you know, you're going to put a whole lot of money up to get those guys, but you're doing it thinking that's a guaranteed 15 to 20 every week, and I don't have to think about it. Like, I'm never taking him out my starting lineup unless he's on a bye week. And then when you get a week like that, it really makes it hard to think about how much you invested to not cash out week in and week out.
So AJ, we're talking about, you know, some fantasy studs, and I was sitting here on the couch Thursday, last Thursday, checking the, you know, just checking the group me conversation and watching some football. And, you know, you had, didn't you have some Jets players on your squad that really came through for you?
Oh yeah. I had Brandon Marshall and Matt Forte. And then on the other side, I had a decent game from LeSean McCoy. But I mean, you really can't do it much better than Matt Forte did this past week, you know, rushing. Thank God they gave him that last yard. Cause he got me 100 yards and I got the boost for that. And, what was it? How many catches did he have in that game? I think he had two receptions for 9 yards, but hey, I'll take that any day of the week. That was the big difference. And, you know, honestly, as amazing as that was, I was really impressed by Matt Ryan as well, you know, to get a 3 touchdown, almost 400, you know, I think it was 396-yard game. It would have been nice to get that 400-yard bonus too, but I will not complain. I'll take that from him every week in and week out.
What were your all's biggest surprises during game time? It could be, you know, related to fantasy. It could be, you know, just something that happened in the game action. So, was there anything crazy that came out of left field for you all?
I'd have to go with seeing, was it Garoppolo go down with a sprained AC joint in his throwing arm. I've actually sprained my AC joint. And I can tell you this, I could barely lift my arm for a good 2 weeks. So seeing the Patriots have to go to their third string quarterback for 2 games, it's a big deal. But right now he's holding it down, man. Brissett is doing his thing. Looks like
he's having a nice solid game tonight for sure.
Yeah.
How about you, Clint? What did you see that threw you for a loop this week?
Well, the only thing that really comes to mind, and only because he's sitting on two of my 3 fantasy teams, but Greg Olsen, you know, you think of him as a check down and a red zone threat, and he broke off like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown run.
Oh man,
that's just something like you don't expect, you know, out of a guy like Greg Olsen, and you know, he got the coverage that was perfect, and there was no safeties back there and was able to break it off.
I nominated him in the draft, and I already had Jordan Reed. So what I was interested in, I was like, what would people be willing to pay for Greg Olsen? He's a guy that's kind of understated. You know, you don't think of him as like a Gronk or anybody like that. But you look at his production in the last couple of years, like he's up there with the best of the tight ends. So he can definitely do it big.
Look, Cam definitely appreciates Greg Olsen's abilities and uses it as often as he possibly can.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and move on to kind of a wrap up of the game. I'm just going to go down here down the spreadsheet, shout the scores out. So, first on the spreadsheet we had you know, our co-host AJ defeating Brad, Henry P. McCoy defeating Smoke on the Water. That'd be about 180 to 133. And that was projected to be an even game. On my game, we had, you know, me, Waiver Wire Warriors, you know, aka Too Lazy to Change Daryl's Name, defeating JR Nemesis. So that was, you know, about 131 to 98, and that was projected to be a Nemesis win. We had Ronnie the Great One, who's you know, looking like one of the top in the league right now, you know, squishing ish, 169 to 116. The Fresh Crew defeating Shane, Little Teapot, 124 to 123. That was as close as it gets. That was the closest game.
I can tell you, Shane is not a happy camper right now.
You're heading towards that putrid, and you lose by less than a point. You know, that's got
to
be tough.
But you know what? I don't feel bad for anybody because I know what it feels like to lose by 0.6 points in a championship.
Yeah. So moving on, you know, we had Clint defeating Rolling House Money. I think people might have taken House Money a little less seriously than they should have. You know, when you look at his team, he's got some wide receivers. You know, he's got Cam Newton, always can blow it up. And he put up some high points this week. We had Eric Jacob High Rollers defeating Joel, Hostile Takeover, 124 to 102. And then Skip the Commish putting a smackdown on Chad, Stairway to Seven. Sincere Deuce defeats Stairway to Seven, 122-106. So anything that stands out to you all?
To me, Simon, it just shows, you know, again, bring this up maybe a couple times in the duration of this podcast, but, you know, with that extra flex spot, you know, it changes the dynamics of everything. And, you know, right now, you know, people we thought were extreme busts or, you know, managers, I should say, not players, but managers, like, you know, you look at Roland and, you know, it was the consensus, you know, he's going to be the whipping post. And, you know, it, you know, and you look at Chad's team and it's like, oh, he's going to put up points. And, you know, here we are, you know, and not knocking Skip's squad, but, you know, you kind of don't expect, you know, Chad to kind of put up a subpar performance like it happened. And we're thin. I mean, we're thin, really.
All right, guys. Well, moving on. Thanks for your opinions on the this week's matchups. Exciting week as always. Hopefully it's going to be as exciting next week as well. So what I want to go into now, we talked a little bit about injuries, but let's get into the specifics. So put yourself in Ronnie's shoes for a bit. You pay a lot for Danny Woodhead out completely out for the season. So if you're in Ronnie's shoes right now, what do you do?
I mean, what are you going to trade? You know, like, and what are people going to give you? You know what I mean? Well, let me tell you this, looking at Ronnie's team, I'm looking at three wide receivers right now, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Kelvin Benjamin.
One of those so, have to go.
Yeah, you're on to something right there.
And looking at who he's playing this week, as of now, his lineups at running back are James Starks and Matt Asiata. So, you know what I mean? He needs running back help, and he's going to have to move one of those big three. I mean, you're looking at three potentially top 20 receivers in this league, and you know that's a big deal. And
it is. Asiata, though, is he projected to get more carries this week?
Not than McKinnon, I don't think. Not this week.
Wow, he's not going to lose a whole lot of workload to McKinnon, but you know you've got to have him in there at least in case McKinnon goes down.
It's the difference between having one of the few backs in this league who's a workhorse in AP and does it all, and having somebody who's going to get partial time and is, nowhere near the quality of back that an AP is.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, some interesting things. So he's already made his move, or at least one of them. So Ronnie picks up Farrell. Do any of you guys know anything about Farrell, or do you think he made the right move here, or you think he should have sold out on Dexter McCluster?
Oh man, I'll tell you this right now. I've had Dexter McCluster in past years, and even had him in situations where he was supposed to get some touches, and things just never panned out. I can't fault him for not selling on McCluster.
Clint, I was gonna say the exact same thing. I've actually had Dexter McCluster before, and it's burned me more times than it didn't. You know, it's one of those boomer bust guys. When he has a great day, you're thanking the stars that he was on your squad. But then there's another day where he puts up 2 points, and you're like, you know, no starting running back should be putting up numbers that low ever. And it's a disappointment. So, you know, he's one of the, like, there are few people in this league that you sell out on. Like, I'm going to give everything I got to make sure I get this guy. And even in this league, I don't think he was enough of a sure thing to make it worth spending as much money as he would have had to spend to get him.
Right. Well, you know, we can't speak too soon, but maybe Ronnie's making a choice on Kenneth Farrell then. It seems like he's made his move. You know, he's also got Chris Johnson sitting there on the bench, so let's hope he can do something. But, you know, also, you know, Amir Abdullah out too. You know, really tough week for him. So, you know, speaking of that, who do you think really got hit worse by this, by this, you know, torrent of injuries that is just ravaging the league right now? I'd like to nominate myself. I'd like to selfishly nominate myself. I've got AP out for 3 to 4 months. I've got Doug Martin out with a hamstring. And both Willie Snead and Sammy Watkins are dealing with some minimal injuries. So I'm going to I'm gonna nominate myself, but maybe you guys have another opinion on this.
I was just gonna second you and say good luck to you, brother. Except for when you play me, but seriously,
yeah, I appreciate that.
AP, that injury, like you said, 3 to 4 months, that hurts. You know, that, I mean, that's basically the rest of the fantasy season. You might as well put him on the IR and call it a day. And a hamstring, the thing that's scary about a hamstring is it's so easy to see reoccurring injuries with a hamstring. Like, guys just sometimes they get back 1 week too early, they tweak it again, and it just seems like they can't get right the rest of the season. It's kind of like Victor Cruz and that calf injury. You know, it just seemed like he could never get back. And hamstrings sometimes can be tricky like that. And on the flip side, sometimes he can come back 2 weeks later and it's like nothing ever happened. So for your sake, let's hope it's the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Clint? Are you going to third me or are you rooting for Ronnie as getting hit worse by the injury bug?
Oh, man. I mean, you had big, big starters come in that, you know, you were expecting a season out of. And, you know, all I can think about right now, though, is, you know, we're seeing this already, and it's week two, you know. And, you know, it's the same thing every year in fantasy football. You know, you see a couple big guys go down, and then all of a sudden you're thinking, like, oh, my gosh, this is, you know, this is the worst. This is the worst for injuries we've ever seen.
And what I'm looking at from the commish is how far is Simon's team tumbling in the ranks? Is it going to be like Ole Miss this past weekend?
Yeah.
I hear you. Championship dreams collapsed.
Well, you know what? I mean, I'm already at the bottom of the barrel, so you know, there's nowhere to go but down. But maybe I'm definitely going to surprise.
Saying, it's not a good look to come in as a rookie and to win the Peach Trophy. Maybe you. I'm just saying.
Hey, you won't have to worry about that. All right, I'm gonna write this shit. Speaking of the commish, though, what about his win versus the champ? Like, what do y'all think about that? You know, did he catch a good week? Did he catch the champ on a bad week, or did he really just come and hit him in the mouth? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, I would definitely say it wasn't him hitting him in the mouth. It was a good win. It was a gutty win. I mean, in a week like this where everybody was putting up subpar scores, being able to get in the 120s is going to give you a chance pretty much week in and week out. You know, I'd say you'd want to hit in this league somewhere around 140 to feel comfortable every week. But if you can put up 120, you got a chance. And you know, it definitely wasn't. This wasn't one where he showed up and it was handed to him. He definitely didn't go out there and take it. You know, it was a good win though. It was a solid win. A win is a win. We'll take him.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about that, Clint? As a veteran in the league.
It's year number three, and I feel like I'm still a rookie sometimes. But I'll tell you, I'm writing down some scores here. Let's call a few. Hostile Takeover Jewel, 102.12. Anything else? Let's see. We got Ish at 116. And Nemesis, JR, who is what I consider a true veteran in this league, 98.78. You know, I mean, this goes back to the roster thing that I keep talking about, spreading everybody else out that much more. You know, I mean, we would see a low score last year would have been like 110 to 115. You know, every great once in a while we would see, you know, in like low hundreds, you know, maybe not even breaking 100, but we've got three or four teams, you know, in week two that are just low. And
honestly, after that first game, and even after the second game on Sunday, I was expecting half the league to finish under 100. Teams that looked like they were really struggling, especially after that first game, man.
Like AJ said, you know, I mean, to look at a 122 over 106 score as the commish prevailed over last year's champion, you know, it kind of looks – you know, it looks like a blowout, but you know, 122, you know, is not really super high. And you know, I think we're gonna have to get used to seeing some wins this year that are gonna be in the 120 range and so forth. Whereas that would have been, you know, that would have been some shaky
Greg. Bottom tier. 2 years ago, that's bottom tier every single game of the season. But, I mean, things have changed, dude. Really, like, extending out from 12 to 14 teams and then adding that extra roster spot, adding the extra flex spot, it's really stretched the available players thin. I mean, honestly, you know, I know we voted for the extra flex spot this year, but I was disappointed losing my kicker because I had – the best kicker in the league. Gostkowski was kind of money. Like, when I was getting 10-plus every week in my kicker, I felt pretty good, guys.
Hey, that is true. There are some kickers in the league who will put up a lot more points than you expect. AJ, do you think that your team has now had the turnaround that it needs? Or do you think you just had a lucky week, man?
You know, if I'm honest, man, I don't think it was luck. Because there was there were some roster decisions that I had to make, and it was difficult. And that's the thing is each team in this league right now, I feel like we all have a fatal flaw. We all have, you know, our kryptonite, or, you know, at a minimum, we just don't have a lot of depth. So making the right roster decisions in a week is important. I mean, I just as easily could have started, you know, Jameis over Matt because – I mean, being honest, I was really disconcerted by that first week where Matt threw another interception in the red zone over the middle of the field, and he's still making the same decisions, the same mistakes. It's like, is he about to be the Matt Ryan we saw last year, or is he going to be the Matt Ryan who should be putting up 300-plus every game with the weapons he has? So yeah, I wouldn't call it luck, but, you know, I would say that my team – overperformed from what the expectation was.
So in this season, we've seen, you know, some guys that were expected to do a lot of big things, or maybe some guys that came out of left field. Who are the biggest surprises or disappointments for you thus far? I'd like to throw a couple of guys out there. Allen Robinson not having the season that we're used to. Todd Gurley, a little surprising. So are there any big surprises or disappointments for you all? I mean, I would like to say a pleasant surprise for me has been Willie Snead. You know, and I know people gave me crap in the chat about it, but look, sometimes you just see that potential in the guy. You know what I mean? And I saw him go up for that ball in the preseason game, and I was like, he's got Drew Brees throwing the ball. And right now he has the most yards in the league. So are there any other surprise out there or just plain disappointments? You know, even Odell, Beckham, and Ingram not doing their thing. So what do you all think about that?
Just a word on Snead, Simon. Last year I had him and he was a complete waiver wire pickup. You know, I didn't draft him. He was off the radar for everybody, and he was, you know, mid season. He was kind of an all in guy for me, and I picked him up, and he was kind of the boom or bust kind of thing. You know, he would do, you know, 20, 25 points one game and then get you 6 or 7 the next. And I couldn't really feel him out, but at the time my roster was in disarray, and I just had to play him, you know. And honestly, Snead, and this sounds ridiculous, but Snead carried me to the Final Four. You know, I played Ross, but I mean he got me there because he picked his game up. I wanted him this year because of what he did for my roster last year, but with my available funds that I did have, it wasn't going to work out, and I wasn't going to blow everything on an upside wide receiver 2, but, you know, maybe more like a wide receiver 3. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, in the words of Denzel Washington, you got the magic eye, Clint. You know what I mean? Like seeing Willie Snead and making that last minute pickup, you know, sometimes that's really what it takes.
For sure.
Are there any other surprises or disappointments out there for you guys? I mean, is it too early to tell?
I had two surprises so far this season, and both of them at the wide receiver spot. I got to go with number one. It's Terrell Pryor. Who would have known this guy was going to be able to make the switch to wide receiver and be as productive as he has been so far?
Yeah, I was surprised to see that as well.
It's going to be cool to see him when he really learns how to run routes, when he really learns the nuances of what it takes to be a top wide receiver in this league. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see him putting up, you know, Hopkins numbers in 2-3 years. Kid is impressive. And number two, I was surprised by Enunwa. Like, the kid, you know, early in that game, Brandon Marshall wasn't putting up too many big numbers, and he was blowing it up, you know. They were I think he was like 7 yards away from a 100-yard game. They almost had 300-yard receivers in that game. And that kid pulled down, I think, 6 balls, but he was just balling.
Yeah,
in that game, he showed me something.
Yeah, he was beasting it. He was beasting it.
Who passed him on the roster? Well, in that was me. I had the Denzel Washington magic guy that Simon was talking about week one. Bengals played the Jets, and this dude was killing it on the field. And I thought, I don't even remember what I threw up for him. I mean, it was maybe $20 or something like that. You know, he wasn't on anybody else's radar at the time, and.
I'll say this. Yeah, man, I got to give you credit. You saw it a week earlier. Like, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of luck, man. It's like, what did I have going on this weekend? You know, if I had a busy weekend and you guys were at home and all you did was watch football all weekend long, I genuinely might be at a disadvantage this week. And, you know, it's tough, man. Sometimes it just takes seeing all the games. And, you know, that last week I didn't get a chance to see him, but – when I saw him in week two, it was like, damn, this kid is going to be something.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for fantasy surprises and disappointments. So next we're going to move out and talk about the waiver wire. My name is the Waiver Wire Warriors, but I have not been active on it myself. But did you guys see any pickups out there, or do you see any good players still lingering out there on the waiver wires?
No, there is no good players left, if you want me to just be blunt about it.
Hey, blunt, honest, straight to the point, and you're right. It's a really slim waiver wire right now.
If you said barren, it would be an understatement. The waiver wire is the fucking Sahara right now.
What about this, though? Joel coming through with Fozzie Whitaker. Do you think while Jonathan Stewart's out, he'll see some time, he'll do anything good, or what?
You know what? Honestly, I think it's going to be more like a running back by committee situation. I don't see Fozzie Whitaker putting up numbers like that week in and week out. It was impressive. It was a good call on her part. And, you know, being in the situation she was in, to get numbers like that from him was huge. But I just don't see him being consistent. I can't see it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ronnie came through with a big bid, too, on Matt Asiata, though. I mean, $63. Most of his waiver money. Did he need that, or do you think that Jerick McKinnon is just going to take all the reins in Minnesota?
I don't think McKinnon's going to take the reins. I mean, if I had to pick who I was going to roster on my team, I would pick McKinnon, especially in this league. I think that Asiata is going to be the touchdown guy. You know, I mean, you get down within the, you know, 10, 5-yard line, even better, you know, Asiata is probably going to get the look, but you know, you can't predict that situation is going to happen, you know, even 2 or 3 times in a game. So, you know, I tend to stay away from these situations where a lead running back gets injured and I want to dump all my money in, or at least the majority of my money in, into a backup. And we don't know the situation yet. I'm not a huge risk taker in that regard, but, you know, maybe it'll pay off. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, I see it. I really believe McKinnon's going to get probably about 66% of the carries. Like, I see him getting 2 out of 3 touches, at least, in this game. And with him having the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, in a PPR league, that's way more consistent than a touchdown monster. You know, yeah. Asiata might get the goal line touches and he might be able to come up with touchdowns, but he's more of the boom player, whereas McKinnon has a floor that you can live with.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, that's a really hard situation, and something that we were talking about in the last podcast too was, you know, how do you manage your waiver wire budget? And I think that's what's awesome about this league, you know, coming in as a rookie, is that you really do see people employing their strategies in this league, and I think it's really awesome to see. One thing that I'm really excited to see in the waiver wire is, you know, and I talked about it a little bit before, but Dexter McCluster versus Kenneth Farrell. It'll be interesting to see if any one of those guys can work themselves behind Melvin Gordon, or if Melvin Gordon can't stay healthy. That dynamic will really change. I mean, you're talking about now having the position to maybe have a number one starting spot. So I'm a little excited to see what happens on that front too. We're going to switch it up a little bit. And right now we're going to have the short segment, the Commish's Corner, where Skip comes on to hate on everybody's teams who suck, particularly mine. No, but Skip is going to be coming on here and giving his review of the week 3 power rankings. It's going to be a detailed review. So sit by to see how your team's doing.
All right. So just a few notes, kind of listening to the podcast as it was going along. I'll address them as I'm going through here. So I do agree with you all that I was pretty lucky in beating Chad, but I think a few different roster decisions would have made this basically not in question. So I really do think that's going to be a weekly bugaboo for me because of the depth that I have on my team, trying to figure out actually who to start. So I don't know. I'll figure out how to address that.
I feel like that's always been your Achilles heel, Chris. If there's anything I can accuse you of, is overthinking. And sometimes, I mean, dude, you had more money in the draft than I've ever seen. You could have gone after certain players that you didn't. And I sometimes feel like you think too much.
But it's
why we love you. It's why we love you.
I went after depth. I really did. I wanted to have the deepest roster so I could withstand injuries. And as we see this week, I mean, injuries are all over the place, right? An understated thing, Ronnie lost Amir Abdullah too. Not only did he lose Woodhead, but he also lost Abdullah. And so that's why he's sitting, you know, they're now starting James Starks and Matt Asiata.
Who do you think is going to fall more in the rankings, Chris, if you would like to give us a spoiler?
For the week 4 rankings, I mean, it totally depends on how things go in week 3, man. Because they could pull out something. Like, Ronnie could pull out a win, and he could try to cruise through the season with great receivers and just kind of dink and dunk at running back. And it could work. You never know.
I don't give any shot in hell to Ronnie from here on out. I'm sorry, brother. Wherever you are, your team is done, son.
All right, so enough of that interlude. I'll go ahead and get through the power rankings for you. All right, so week 3, power rankings. Of course, we had what I actually called in the power rankings a week of horror. And, of course, it's a week of horror just because we had so many injuries. And then, AJ, I put a note in there to you. I don't know if you saw it yet, but it basically says a squirrel will catch a nut every once in a while. And that's what happened with your high point. So enjoy it this week.
Oh, I'll enjoy it every time. You look for it again. It's coming. It's coming. In fact, you know what? This time next week, I expect to be sitting here in the same spot saying congratulations to my team and thank you to the fantasy gods.
All right. So going forward, we have number 1 and 2. And number 1 is a surprise, but I will explain to you the rationale. So number 1 is Ross, and number 2 is Clint. Now, Clint, I actually want to know. Clint, I want to know, did you think that you deserve to be ranked over Ross?
Over Ross, possibly. Number 1, not necessarily. You know, I'm looking at Ross's squad, and, you know, he's got some firepower, but, you know, I feel like overall depth, you know, at my starting positions, I think I might be a little bit better set up, but I don't think I necessarily deserve to be at the number 1 spot. So if you chose to put Ross there, that makes sense. That's why this week 3 is that much more intriguing, because me and Ross are playing each other. And as of right now, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have that many points, so I feel pretty good about how this is all turning out.
All right, great. So, you know, I'll go ahead and explain my rationale. So at the time when I did the power rankings, you know, I did it on Wednesday. And this was before the news that Dante Moncrief was out. So this was me assuming that his depth was basically DeAndre Hopkins, Dante Moncrief and Alshon Jeffrey. So having those three receivers. And so I looked at that compared to your receivers and compared to your running backs and stuff. And so I saw that his depth was there. But now that he's lost this receiver, it does hurt him tremendously. He's starting a rookie in Sterling Shepard at wide receiver 3. So it does hurt him. And if I were to redo the rankings now, I think I would rank you ahead of him.
Fair enough.
All right. So like I said, we have Ross at 2-0 at number 1. We have Clint at 2-0 at number 2. And, of course, they will have the Battle of the Titans this week. So we'll see which one of them is really better. We have our defending champ, who went down to number 3 after losing to me. But he shouldn't feel too bad. He started Jay Cutler, so that's kind of the consequence you get when you start Jay Cutler. It's, you know, you're destined to lose. So I think he'll rebound this week, although Gronk isn't doing too much. So that doesn't seem like a good thing. But after all, he is playing Shane. So, you know, Shane's going to find a way to screw it up. All right, so number 4, we have AJ. And AJ had a pretty good win after losing in week 1. But he's actually come back. He had a pretty good win, got high points. He can gloat and everything, and we'll give him the opportunity to do that in our Smack Talk session. Then we have number 5 and 6, man. These were difficult. So number 5 is Ronnie. He is actually ranked first in the league if you look at the league standings. But, of course, there's a reason I have him at 6, and you all know what the reason is. He lost his top 2 running backs. He doesn't have depth at that position. It's going to be difficult to see him continuing to stay at the top of the standings moving forward without some type of very big deal. And you all talked about, basically, you looked at his roster, and it's those 3 receivers. He may have to move one of those to stay in contention. So we'll see how he handles it. Number 6, we have House Money, my good friend Roland. He has really stepped up, and he's overcome his putrid past. And he's shown that he's actually a pretty formidable team in this league. So we'll see what happens as it keeps going along. Number 7 and 8, I have Ish, and then I have JR. Ish lost to Ronnie. He was actually trounced by Ronnie. It was not even close. So after talking a lot of junk on the podcast, he ended up getting squished himself. And then JR, I mean, I don't know what happened to that team. It just did not show up. And Simon, you got a great win. Is there anything you want to say to him right now?
Yeah, I do want to say something to JR. First of all, you know, you took a high flyer on, you know, Todd Gurley. Didn't quite work out for you. But I just want to say that, you know, from rookie to veteran, I hope that you experience many more losses and myself more wins. And I just want to say that I might be the first rookie, I don't know if it's happened before, to make the playoffs and possibly win the championships. But we'll see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. You would be the first rookie to win the championship. And I have to check the history, but it may be that you'd be the first rookie to make the playoffs too. But not necessarily sure about that. I believe Ish, when he was a rookie, he actually made the playoffs. Now that I think about it. Moving on to numbers 9 and 10. Number 9, I have myself. I got to give myself some props for beating Chad. You know, I can't necessarily do that self-deprecation thing too much.
Can we have some humility, please, Chris? That was really obnoxious.
Oh, yeah,
if obnoxious. If I were commissioner, I would just put myself at number every week because I'm a good person.
Okay, I see. Well, I was 13 last week, so, you know, I made a come up, just a little bit of a come up. All right, and then at number 10, I have Eric. Eric actually got a pretty good win over Jewel, and he was actually supposed to lose. So it shows, man, he's got this running back depth now, and now everyone's clamoring to actually get some of the piece of the pie there. Maybe he can grab a wide receiver this week. We'll see what happens. At number 11, I have Simon. He defeated JR, and he's moving up the power rankings. I imagine if he wins this week against Eric, he'll continue moving up. And then smoke on the water, Brad, at number 12. He actually lost to you, AJ, and he received that beatdown. But I think his team is actually pretty solid, so we'll see what happens going
on. Yeah, I was actually – I mean, I was expecting it to be a closer match. Like I said, I was expecting I could hit 150, and I was thinking he was going to score in the 140s, and it was going to be tight. So I was surprised. I surely wasn't expecting a blowout.
Yep, absolutely. And then leading our putrid watch, we have two teams that are at 0-2, and it's not good. And in fact, they deserve to be together right here in 13 and 14. We have Jewel and Shane. Man, Jewel has experienced so much bad luck since she's joined the league. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, honestly, Jewel has the greatest luck in the world in that she has not won the Putrid Trophy yet.
No, she has. That's the thing.
Wait, what season was that? Damn. That was two seasons ago, right?
Yeah, she's gotten a Putrid Trophy.
Yeah, definitely. So she didn't do it back-to-back year. She's still in the league.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd also like to say, you know, shout out to Jewel and Shane for keeping some buffer between, you know, me and the bottom rankings. You know, I really appreciate that.
And then we have our good friend Shane, man. He ended up getting a lot of flack for his involvement over the Hall of Fame weekend with me and Ronnie. And, you know, we even did the meme of him with Yao Ming, and a lot of stuff happened to him during that week. But, man, his team is not looking great. We'll see if he can rebound, though. He lost Keenan Allen, and then it just seemed like things started breaking down for him. But he is actually showing pretty well against Chad so far, and that's really because Chad doesn't have Gronk doing anything. But we'll see what happens. All right, and that's my power ranking. So,
all right, Kamish. Hey, well, as always, thank you for everything you do for the league. You know, thank you for the clarifications on the podcast. Salute to the Kamish, and I hope to see you on next podcast as well.
All right. Definitely hoping to see everyone.
Only negative comment I have.
All right. Hold up.
Best commission of this by far. But you should have put me number one in the rankings. That's my only tweak. I would, you know, change that up.
Ross, I would also say the worst decision he's made is letting me into the league, because now he's never going to win another championship.
That's funny.
I'm just putting that out. You know, I may have not been a wise investment, but I think it's time for our next session, which should be a special guest, but we're going to have our first special guest who's already a co-host, and that's AJ. So this is AJ's Smack Talk Corner. We're just going to let him sit here and smack talk. We might smack talk him back. But we, you know, have at it, man. I mean, you've been smack talking already. You already got your warm up. What do you got to say?
To piggyback off the illustrious Kamish himself, I earned it, man. I went out there and made it happen this week, and my team balled out. And I'm just going to give my team credit. You know, I did what I had to do. We had a game plan. I put people in place. But, you know, as the Kamish and owner and GM of my team, right? I had to put my faith in my players, and they went out there and they did it for me, man. They went out there and they performed for the beast, and I appreciate them. But no, in all seriousness, man, I really did feel good about my team coming out of the draft this year. And I can say about being in this league is I've been consistent. Like, I might not have gotten the championship yet, but I've put myself in a situation to be there. And see my team just perform, and in all seriousness, it's fun in games to talk shit, but it's really easy to go from the mountaintop to the basement in this league. So I'm not gonna talk too much shit, man. I'm thankful. I will continue to think that my team will stay healthy, and given that, I really do believe I have a chance at the championship this year. I'm looking forward to it, man. If anybody earned the good karma, losing by 0.6 points in the championship because of Aaron Rodgers, it's time for me to win. It's my turn.
Could it be the man AJ has turned over a new leaf? Like, I'm trying, no smack, man. Talk in a whole dedicated session. He ain't calling out no names. Hey, I might as well just say, you know you're going to lose when you play me. That's just what it's going to be, all right?
AJ's talking about karma. And how, you know, Aaron Rodgers cost him the game and this and that. Well, maybe that was karma for him to lose by 0.6 points, and AJ just don't realize it yet.
Hey, Clint put it out there.
I don't understand this. That doesn't compute in my world. I've had to explain this to a couple of guys in the league. See, there's this whole magical place in my brain that doesn't use reason, and you guys are trying to use reason, and it doesn't make sense. In my world, AJ wins. That's all that matters. AJ wins.
Hey, AJ world, he wins. I mean, but look, this is the Fresh League, though. You know what I mean? You got to exist within the parameters of the Fresh League. So all I'm saying is, like, you know, are you going to be that hard-hitting, you know, go out and get in everybody's face, or are you really just turning a new leaf and, like, you know, trying to build some back karma for you, you know?
I believe in my team. Believe you can win. You've won. It's a secret, man.
All right.
Or something.
Hey, well, I'm going to be looking at the press, all right? All right, so moving forward for Smack Talk Corner, we're just going to have a rundown of the weekly matchups, give you a little preview. So I'll be playing Eric. I'm coming for your power ranking spot. I want to be in the top 10. I'm going to win, and that's just going to be it. So Waiver Wire Warriors versus Eric, Jacob High Rollers, although Eric is projected to win. So we'll see what happens. Skip.
Simon, let me tell you right now. I don't know if you've been looking at anything, but you got 28.5 points off LeGarrette Blount, and Jake has 1.3 points off Chris Hogan. So everything's looking in your favor right now.
Hey, wait, yo, Clint, shout out to Clint, you know, in my corner there. I have been watching the game. LeGarrette Blount busted out a huge run, so it's a good start for me. All right, so next game, we got Skip. We just saw him on Commission's Corner. Sincere Douche versus AJ, my co-host. AJ's projected to win. You got anything to say?
Bonne chance, monsieur.
All right, pulling out the French. I see that. So
That's all I got, man. Good luck. You know, it's like, hey, man, I want my team to speak for me. We're going to do the best we can. Just like my Falcons, we're going to keep winning. We're going to keep winning.
All right. All right, so next we have last week's host, Brad Smoke on the Water versus JR, Smoke's Nemesis. Nemesis predicted to win, but can Brad give him 2-0? We have also Jewel, Hostile Takeover versus Ronnie. Jewel is predicted to win here, which is a little bit surprising, but given the injuries, we can see why that might be the case. We have Roland House Money versus Ish, House Money is projected to win that game. We have my co-host, Clint Sandy Ravage versus Ross the Fresh Crew. Interesting battle of two giants at the top of the power rankings. I'm excited to see that one. And then we have Stairway to Seven versus a Little Teapot. Little Teapot's in the trauma unit right now. We're hoping that he can resuscitate his team. So we'll see. Do you guys see any potential upsets in that? I'm looking at Hostile Takeover versus Ronnie and what they do. But what sticks out to you guys there?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, just watching the game tonight, and I know it's Thursday, but you know, anytime your second wide receiver puts up as much as the your opponent's wide receiver one, it's a good day for you. Like I mentioned before, Ross didn't get a whole lot of points out of DeAndre Hopkins tonight, and as I'm saying this, the game has ended. So you know, we're neck and neck. And he's already blown his wide receiver one. So, potential upset, yeah. I mean, Ross was favored to win as well as being a spot ahead of me according to the power rankings. So, potential upset there.
There we go. Clint coming through, you know, putting the humble but bold prediction on his game there. You guys see any other upsets there? Any games you're particularly excited for?
Well, since you got this 29-point start, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and call an upset in the game against Simon. If you lose with a 28-point head start, you deserve this loss, brother.
Hey, well, you know what? That's only more motivation to get out there and win. I'm going to be analyzing my matchups all week this week. So expect to see big things from my game. All right, fellas. Well, thank you for joining us with the week 3 podcast. As always, it's been a fun time. We hope to have all this energy in the league to continue to move forward and all the competition. I'll see you all in the group chat. Salute to the commish. Salute to my co-host. Yes, and I'll see you guys next week. Best of luck out there.
And good luck, guys. Look forward to seeing you guys in the chat when the game start up.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem at all. And as always, for all you listening, remember to keep it fresh.